Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
1. The Biblical Book of Esther, minus many important details, subplots, and hard to pronounce names. Chapter 1, the King of Persia throws a party. The king's wife refuses to appear and display her beauty for the party guests. She is replaced with a new queen. Chapter 2, Esther becomes the queen. Across the Persian Empire, beautiful candidates are identified to succeed the recalcitrant queen. Esther, a Jewish girl, is brought to the capital as one of the candidates. Her uncle Mordecai tells her to conceal her Jewish identity. Esther is chosen to be queen. Chapter 3, the rise of Haman. Haman is appointed by the king to be his prime minister. All bow in homage to Haman. Esther's uncle, Mordecai, refuses to bow to Haman. Enraged, Haman vows to kill all the Jews of Persia and prevails upon the king to issue a royal edict to exterminate the Jews and plunder their possessions. Chapter 4, Esther's mission becomes clear. Mordecai sends a copy of the royal decree to Esther and asks her to intercede with the king on behalf of the Jews. Esther replies that to approach the king without being summoned is to risk death. Mordecai speaks his famous line, "Who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Chapters 5 through 7, Esther's strategy, Haman's demise. The king receives Esther and grants her virtually any request. Esther reveals her identity and announces that she and her people are about to be murdered. She identifies Haman as her arch enemy. Haman is hanged. Chapters 8 through 10, the happy ending. The Jews are victorious. Mordecai is named prime minister to replace Haman. Persia flourishes. 2 fun facts. 1, the Book of Esther is considered the prototype for all novels. And 2, the name of God does not appear in it even once. It's the perfect Unitarian Universalist book. Purim, which began last night, is the festival commemorating this story, the saving of Jewish people living in ancient Persia, and one of the most joyous and fun holidays on the Jewish calendar. The 4 observances of the holiday are to read the Book of Esther, give charity to at least 2 needy individuals, share the gift of food with at least 1 friend, and partake in a festive meal. And everyone wears a mask. In Hebrew, the name Esther is a play on words. It means revealing the hidden. Her story, full of magic and coincidence, invites us to imagine that although we might find it hard to believe that providence is at work in the mess and moral ambiguity of human history, when we stand up as agents of the divine, miracles might just happen. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows but that we have come? You have come, I have come, we have come to this place at this very moment for such a time as this. A black limousine pulled up in front of Buckingham Palace. The chauffeur opened the door and a short, portly man emerged. Walking up the steps of the palace, the full impact of the moment struck him. It was one of the most chaotic times in human history. Neville Chamberlain has resigned as Prime Minister of England. The Third Reich is in power in Germany and Austria. Joseph Stalin is looking to President Roosevelt as the United States for help. War has broken out in many parts of the world, but the worst is yet to come. The whole world is on the brink of war. And there on the steps of Buckingham Palace, Sir Winston Churchill knew that George King VI was about to ask him to become the Prime Minister of a new coalition government. Later, Churchill said that at that moment, it was as though time had stopped. As though every person with whom he'd ever spoken, every class he'd ever taken, every book he'd read, every essay he'd ever written had all been preparing him for this decisive hour. In his memoirs, he wrote, "It seemed that I had come to this moment in history for such a time as this." Have you ever experienced that feeling of being the right person in the right place at the right time? What if we chose to believe that we are always the right person in the right place at the right time? Can we imagine that we too have come here to this moment in history for such a time as this? What would it look like if we chose to say yes? I think a lot about Rosa Parks. Although she had trained for it on that day more than 68 years ago now, she didn't set out to change the course of history. She just wanted, she said, to go home. But her decision to stay seated at the front of the bus ignited a boycott and energized a powerful movement for justice and freedom. Rosa Parks was the right person at the right time. Rosa Parks said yes. Mahatma Gandhi said, "We must be the change we wish to see in the world." I collect stories of everyday heroes, people who surface in the news one day and then return to the relative obscurity of their lives. What sets them apart for that moment of fame is their unqualified yes. And the quintessential story I carry is of a young man whose name I don't even know. He was driving a pickup truck down the Southeast Expressway when he saw a semi that was coming from the opposite direction swerve off the road and roll over. And that young man pulled off, jumped out, and sprinted across the highway, vaulting over the divider in the middle and dodging 8 lanes of traffic. Coming up to the semi, he could see the driver hanging upside down in the cab, suspended by his seatbelt. As the truck burst into flames, he kicked in the driver's window, released the seatbelt, and dragged the driver to safety as the semi burst into flames. "It was so hot," he said later, "my lighter exploded in my pocket." When asked why he had risked his life for a stranger, The young man appeared utterly baffled by the question. He answered, "Because I was there." He was there, the right person, at the right place, at the right time. And he said yes, for such a time as this. We are not all Rosa Parks or even he of the exploding lighter, but they passed their light to us. Whether it's just a tiny ember burning in our heart of hearts or a great conflagration of passion and devotion lighting up our life and the lives of all those whose lives we touch is up to us. We can start small. Mother Teresa said there are no great acts, only small acts done with great love. Years ago, my friend Tricia was deeply involved in the Hunger Project, a global movement committed to the sustainable end of world hunger. She had a button pinned to her coat that said, "Ask me how we can end world hunger." And she gave much of her discretionary time to this life-saving calling. One evening, after a particularly grueling day at her day job, she climbed down into the subway to take the long ride home. She was too tired to talk to anyone about anything. She took off the "Ask Me" button, slipped it into her pocket, and began to slide into sleep. As her eyelids grew heavy, a sign above the seats across the aisle caught her eye. It was none other than Smokey the Bear with his famous two-word sermon, "Only You." Although she had heard it 100 times, in that moment, Tricia heard it for the first time. Sitting up, she retrieved the button from her pocket and pinned it back onto her coat. "Ask me how we can stop world hunger. Only you, for such a time as this." The Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh said that he believed that the coming Messiah will not manifest as an individual, but rather as a community. Can we choose to believe that we are a part of something salvific and life-giving? Can we choose to live into that possibility? Our oldest daughter, Corey, is in Phuket, Thailand right now, which has brought me back to the soul-searing stories of the 2004 tsunami there. On the morning of Sunday, December 26, 2004, an earthquake shook the floor of the Indian Ocean so violently that it altered the Earth's rotation. Towering waves traveling at 500 miles per hour crashed into the shorelines of 14 countries, claiming the lives of some 227,900 people, one of the deadliest natural disasters in recorded history. Kem and I were out on the Cape for the holiday, staying with friends. I remember standing in front of the television, glued to the news, reeling from the sheer magnitude of it all, knowing that we had to do something. When Stephen Bodan, one of our irrepressible, indefatigable young adults, a student at Berklee College of Music, emailed me to say he wanted to do a benefit concert here at Arlington Street in 10 days. One of the best decisions I have ever made was to get out of the way. 10 days later, the publicity that had been generated filled this enormous sanctuary to capacity. 20 Greater Boston choral groups, professionals as well as a children's chorus, with a combined total membership of some 200 people, had been recruited to come together for this great cause. And at the 11th hour, a coloratura soprano flew in from the Met and sang the Ave Maria. In one evening, the luminous, soaring concert raised today's equivalent of nearly $22,000 for tsunami disaster relief. For the finale, all the musicians, singers, and instrumentalists learned Morten Lauritzen's anointed choral piece, Lux Aeterna, and sang it for the grand finale. Lux Aeterna, eternal light. Beloved spiritual companions, what if we chose to believe that we are always the right person in the right place at the right time? Rosa sat, the lighter exploded, only you. To what will we say yes? To what will you, will I, will we say yes? What is your next small act? What is it that you will do with great love? Who knows but that we have come for such a time as this? Amen. And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart in namaste. I bow to the divine in you. Who knows but that we have come here for such a time as this? Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I love you. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.